احمق الصحابه the voice of اهل السنه والجماعه
گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا کتنے نازوں سے پالا تھا ہم نے ہر طرح سے سنبھالا تھا ہم نے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے ہائے ہم سے جدا ہو رہی ہے
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اہلن وسہلن ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Yes, it's time for the bliss of marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. We welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM and of course, our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, we welcome our beloved engineer, brother Bonface. Remember our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 27-84-786-3132. Well, it is today the 5th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1443, which is also the 12th of October, 2021. We welcome our Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khaira.
Ustad, let's go to Benoni. There's a listener say, dear Mufti Sahab, can I force my daughter into marriage, Ustad? She's 26 years old.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah The sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I narrate to you a hadith and a saying An incident that occurred during the time of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want the reference, you will find it in Sunan Nasai. One day, during the time of the Master, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a father forced his daughter that she must get married to so and so person, wahiya kariha, and she disliked it. She was not happy with the choice her father made for her. So before she went to live there by her husband and so forth, the nikah was performed. And remember that she came to Nabi alayhi salatu salam and said that this is what my father did. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, no, your father don't have that right to compel you and so forth. So look at how intelligent this lady was, the sahabiya was. She announced to the ladies, I want to show you, once you are aqila baligha, you are sane and you are mature, then your father can suggest to you, can give you some encouragement, but he cannot impose it upon you and compel you that you must get married to so and so person. So that is what I wanted to show you, the ladies of this ummah. So she showed that point. Thereafter, to keep her father happy and take the du'as of her father, then she said, fine, now I will go and stay with my husband because now the point is made and the precedent is set for humanity and posterity. So what do we learn from here? Your daughter is 25, 26 years old. Obviously, you as a father, mother, you are concerned about her. In Arabic, there is a saying, you know, it's not hadith, it's just like a proverb, a saying, Hammul banat ilal mamat. Hammul banat ilal mamat. Parents are concerned of their daughters till the day they pass away. When she grows up, you worried about, will she find a good spouse? Then when you get her married, will it be be a good marriage? Will the son-in-law be a good person? Then she gives birth, then your grandchildren come, and then will there be further complications or not? So always that concern is there, and right till she passes away. So you parents might be thinking that, you know what, our daughter is 26 years old, and now there was a proposal for her, so you just compelled her and said she must marry and so forth. So are you right in doing that? No, you're wrong. You can't do that Islamically, because she is akila baligha, she's sane and mature, and for you to compel her that she must and must marry so and so person, we will say you can encourage her, you can tell her that you should get married, that is fine. But to compel her and impose it upon her, that you cannot do. Then you're going beyond the limits and parameters of Sharia. So we should always remember that. And what good is there? You're going to compel her, then after 3 months, 6 months, maybe she's pregnant and she comes back home. Now you have further complications. Now you don't have to worry of her only, you have to worry of the grandchild as well, because she comes back with the parcel. So never do that, parents. Remember, let your daughter get married where she is happy, but it must be a Muslim person and a boy who belongs to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not some Aga Khani or some Qadiani, Ahmadi, Shia and so forth, who are non-Muslims. So then you must then say, fine, as long as the Aqidah is right and that person is reading Salat and so forth and so on, but don't impose it upon her.
I see the sister says that, respected Mufti AK, temper is from Shaitan. Everything I do for my husband is ever wrong. He gets angry if I smile at him, just trying to bring peace. He says I'm always nice if I want something. How do I convince him otherwise that happiness comes from inside? She says that, dear Mufti Sahib, I'm also a Maimon child, Ustad.
So you must remember, whether you're Maimon or Gujarati or Urdu or Malay or Zulu, the answer will be the same. You must remember that. So I'm Begum Maimon Galkara. We're speaking of that, mashallah. I just digress for a minute. Alhamdulillah, we have started that. Our one person there from Pretoria, he's a doctor, and mashallah, he started this, that he told me they have one Maimon group, and I must send to them daily a hadith or something, some advices. So the feedback I'm getting on that is very good, mashallah, that the people are enjoying it. I read the hadith, whether it's from Bukhari, Muslim, Riyadu Salihin and so forth, then translated in English, and then the explanation of it I give in Maimon, and that's just 3-4 minutes. So alhamdulillah, so those who want to join the Maimon group, so you can just send us, you understand, just write their Maimon group, and on my number 071-888-1184, and then we will join you. I don't get involved in it, I just send to them, and then they distribute and distribute patch and everything, because I told them I don't have time. I will just send it to them and then they can continue with it. So mashallah, that also is picking up. Now we are faced here with the problem, right? So now you are married, sister, to your husband, and remember that you married 3 years, 5 years, seven, nine, whatever years, and there might be 1, 2, 3 children as well. So you know the good moods of your husband, you know when he's happy and so forth. So make sure your timing must be right. Moqa Shanasi. Your timing must be right. The place must be right. When he's in a good mood, the children are not there, then you need to address this issue with him. That why can't we come to a same level, on the same page, that our hearts click with one another, that everything I do, then you become negative, that you snap and you just get angry and so forth and so on. So you must show him, but he must be in a good mood, that the weaknesses he has, and this is going to cause rows and ructions for you and your husband and wife and the children. The children can sense it very easily when the parents are very, very happy, or when they are sad and they're arguing, and then you destroy the self-confidence of the children also. You destroy, you must remember, the mental ability quality of the children. Because I'm a teacher, I know this. You must remember this. When I have to teach them the Alum, I could tell you in 1 week whether this person comes from a good home or a broken home or a sad home where divorce and all these type of things took place. So you can sense it straight away. So you must remember that you are not doing a favor to yourself or to your children. Day and night you're just fighting and disagreeing and so forth and so on. So you, my sister, you say you Mehman, so you'll say Muslim sister, Mehman sister. So daily, if you can, before you sleep, read 2 rakat salatu tahajjud. Allah give tawfiq, you wake up 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then you read 2 rakat, 4 rakat, and then you go into sisda and read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us as spouses and offspring and children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes. So once you do that, Allah's mercy will come. Read the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Almighty Allah daily, you and your husband. Surah 7, chapter 7, verse 180. Almighty Allah is commanding us. Walillahi al-Asma'ul Husna fadu'uhu biha. That Almighty Allah has wonderful, beautiful names, and invoke and call Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla by those beautiful names. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Man hafidaha dakhal al-Jannah. You by heart the 99 names of Allah, you enter Jannatul Firdaus. Man ahsaha dakhal al-Jannah in Tirmidhi Sharif. You read it looking inside, you enter Jannatul Firdaus. So every day read it. Ya wadudu, ya wadud. Give out charity daily, 1 rin, 2 rin. And inshallah, you will see the hearts will start melting, and then not only the bodies will meet, the hearts will meet. There will be unity of thought and so forth. So inshallah, once you do that, and daily read the Manzil. You know the book Manzil by Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwalallahu Marqadahu, because the external forces also are there. The one husband and wife must fight, and then it must become a divorce and so forth. Yufarriquna bihi bayna al-mar'i wa zawji. This brings about the greatest joy to the shaitan and iblis and his cronies when the divorce and talaq takes place. Surah 2 verse 102. So you do all the positive things, and Allah will inshallah make the heart develop that love and compassion for one another.
I see the sister says, Mufti Sahib, urgently from you, I think Qiyamah has arrived. My husband is going to kill me today when he sees how I scratched his precious, beautiful car with my handbag by mistake, Mufti Sahib. Is there a dua I can read to blind him or to have mercy for me before he comes from work, Ustad? I'm listening to you.
So you must remember, if it happened by mistake, so mistakes can happen anytime. You must remember it was not deliberate or something. So easily you can just say maybe he parked the car somewhere or something happened and so forth. So you don't have to tell him, you must remember deliberately and all. If he asks, then you tell him whatever happened, or otherwise so many possibilities and so forth. So what you must do in the meantime, read 2 rakat salat now after the program, for example, and read the last ayat you must remember of Surah Baqarah. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. Oh beloved Allah, do not take us to task for that which we did forgetfully and we did inadvertently, unintentionally. So in that way Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will then forgive you and forgive him. And second one, remember if he's going to blow his gasket and so forth, you fearing all that. So read Surah 29 verse 30. Rabbin surni ala al-qawm al-mufsideen. Oh beloved Allah, that you are the one, you assist me against the mischief makers, troublemakers, the people who don't want to stand to reason and so forth. Chapter 29 verse 30. And read Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best protector, the best helper. Give out some charity. You got your maid there. You got some poor people there. So give it out. And remember, don't be so frightened and so forth. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Place your trust in Almighty Allah, and Allah is sufficient for us. It's a mistake. Everybody makes mistake. He also must realize that.
Somebody says, hope you are well, dear Mufti Saab. I really need to find my Abu, a spouse. He's 39 already and not married. Please ask Mufti Saab if there's a lady. She must be pious and a hafiza if possible. That's what he wants. He wants a good-looking girl. He is Farsi also, because he's also a good-looker. Desperate, Ustad, anonymous mommy.
If he's a good looker and all these type of things, and he's 39 years old, almost 40 years old, so Islamic is already 40, and now he wants all these specifications. She must be pious, she must be a paragon of beauty, she must be a hafiza. So my advice to him will be, he must draw, bring down his expectations, you know. In this world, you can't get a hure in. Maybe you'll get a hure. You understand? Hure teen means that a woman that is here, you know, the worldly woman. Teen means saint. So anyway, how I told you, that person told me that people want a boor and a hoor. You understand? So anyway, the point I'm making, that what I can read in the situation, that your son, by your own admission, you said, he also is but very fussy. So he wants 100% specifications. She must be so tall, she must be so slim, she must be so drum, she must be a hafiza, all this. So it's fine, but remember, if you're going to look for perfection and perfectionists, it won't happen then. Then you will get old and get cold also by that time, and retired. So my brother, bring down your expectations, little bird, and then inshallah, you must settle down. Remember, the environment outside is toxic there. Wherever you go, there's fitna. And you know what money and all that, everything you can buy today, Allah forbid. So therefore, my brother, my advice to you as a brother is that don't have such high expectations. Look at yourself, how many weaknesses you have, but you want your wife to be a madam perfect. It's not going to happen, remember that. Quran Kareem makes this clear also. The hadith also tells us that. Allah Ta'ala says, وَآشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat your wives with love, with equity, justice, respect. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ If you dislike something about them, فَأَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا Sometimes you dislike something, but from the same lady, so many good things come. So look at majority of the qualities, and don't look for some madam perfect. That won't happen, my brother. And read 2 rakat salat, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا and so forth, and get married now, this year, 2021. You can't be delaying any longer. That is not acceptable, brother.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see the sister says here from Khrablo's Whoop. She says, Mufti Saab, we're only listening to you going Durban. When are you coming this size to Khrablo's Whoop? And will there be the bliss of marriage tomorrow, Ustad? Because we heard you're going to Hawik, Ustad.
So, mashallah, I've been to Khrablo's Whoop. Mashallah, Mawana Masood Parker is there, his mother, mashallah, my family, and so forth. All might Allah reward them. We always wait for when the beginning of the Islamic month comes, we have to put our hopes on Khrablo's Whoop. So remember that, because they the one who are our moon samis. They forever seeing the moon there, mashallah. This time when I spoke to Maulana Masood for Rabiul Awwal, I said, Maulana, how many people saw the moon? He said, 7 of us, all 7 saw it.
Allah.
I said, mashallah. Then we heard Kimli saw it, Stellenbosch saw it, this one saw it. So mashallah. So I've been there, and you know what? Let me tell you something. That what happened, that time SAA, you know, SAA is gone to Sakarat and all that. Again, today I heard they got problems and so forth. So, you know, they went and became dead, and then they got resuscitated and what have you. So I used to fly a lot that time. So then they told me, you know what? You've got a lot of Voyager miles. You must use it, otherwise you're going to lose it. So I looked at that. I said, that let me go to Upington. You know, that time, from Johannesburg to Upington was 6,000 rand return flight.
Shoo.
Like overseas almost, you know. So I said, no, I can use my Voyager miles and so forth. So that's how I went there. And then when Mama Sud, we know him, and obviously his mother, I performed the nikah also and all that two sisters in Balfour, mashallah. So that is how I landed up there. The main thing I wanted to see is how they see the moon and all this. So it was very good. We went there. I had a Jummah in Uppington and all. So Bo Chetto Aibai. You understand? It's very far. I spoke some Mehman there. You understood? So anyway, we will see now slowly, slowly. We're not going overseas anyway nowadays. So we're just concentrating on South Africa. So wherever we go, mashallah, that we see, wherever we can put it in. So yes, tomorrow there will be bliss of marriage, inshallah, from the airport. So Maulana Arafat will be here and I will be there. We must use technology, whether we're in the plane, whether we're in a train. So mashallah, the programs must go on. How many times we did like that? So Almighty Allah make it easy. Allah Ta'ala accept it also. And see people, they worried now what the program. No, inshallah, Allah will make easy and we'll give the program also. Yes, tomorrow night we kick off our tour of Natal and that will be Hawik. And the Salat day is 7:45. So the program will start at around 8 o'clock, 5 past 8, inshallah, Aziz. So every night, inshallah, from Wednesday night till Sunday night, including Sunday night, so between 8 and 9, the program will continue, inshallah, Aziz, inshallah, make dua.
I mean, Ustad, there's a message coming here from Mulbatan. They say you haven't visited Mulbatan. Where is it, Ustad? Mulbatan.
Yeah, Mulbatan is also Cape Town side, if I'm not mistaken. I read somewhere. So you must rectify me, but I think it's somewhere that side. Mulbatan is Cape Town. I think so. So, inshallah, you know, when we go, I am coming to Cape Town, inshallah, the first week of December. Our graduates, our ulama who graduated in Darul Newcastle, mashallah. So they are Jalsa, Qasimul Ulum is Jalsa, is there, they are Bukhari Sharif Khatam and so forth. So if it is around that area there, then just speak to Maulana Anwar Peters, the principal, mashallah, of Qasimul Ulum, and then we can arrange some program. And so if it is in the Cape Town.
You say by the Glen side, was that? Mulbatan.
Mulbatan, yeah, Joburg side.
Gee.
There's another one. That is Mulnatan, the Cape Town. Yeah, Mulbatan, okay. So inshallah, you invite us, then with Glen side and that, we can come there, we got no problem. I'll bring Maulana Arafat to it also. So Maulana Arafat will be the curtain raiser, inshallah.
Subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, that trust is all about faithfulness. If we trust one another, then no need for arguments. Am I right? This is the sister from Welcome, Ustad.
With that, you must add one more word, my sister. One side, there must be trust. But trust will come as a result of taqwa and through piety and Allah consciousness. Therefore, when I perform the nikah, Maulana Arafat performs the nikah, any person performs the nikah, the Maulana, the Imam, the Sheikh, the Mufti Sahib, Qari Sahib, whoever. So they read certain verses. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqu rabbakumul ladhi khalaq لَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. The last nikah I performed, so they in Durban, our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas son and his wife, you know. So when I opened the page and I looked there, I see no Arabic there. I only saw English. So I said, Ajib, this is very strange, you know. This new type of nikah books they made, there's no Arabic, only English. So when I was in Darul, I used to always tell the students one, two advices. I said, see, you all are going home, you all are graduated and so forth. Make sure three, four things you must know. The nikah, khutbah, you must know by heart. People will tell you, Maulana, Sheikh, Imam, magdi nikah. You understand? Then what? You can't say, no, I don't know the nikah, the good words and that. Second one, you must know one, two lectures by heart. Then you must know the Jummah khutbah by heart and these type of things. So Alhamdulillah, we know it and so I just read it. Then the Maulana came to me afterwards and said, no, the Arabic is there. I said, but where is it? He said, on the first page, the one time is there. So you must go to the first page and the Arabic is there and everywhere else is English translation. I said, oh, this new style like. So anyway, it's not a serious thing. It's fine like that, but I was unaware of it. So the point I'm making here is this. If you want harmony, you want a good marriage, solid foundation, then taqwa must be there. Remember that. Then once there's taqwa, you have the love and the fear of Almighty Allah simultaneously. That is the golden recipe. Then you will tolerate one another. Then you will overlook one another's fault. And there will be trust and everything. You won't betray one another. So 100% you are right. But add the word taqwa also. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. If we the men can understand this, then everything will work fine. That marriage is a partnership. Marriage is not the dictatorship. Allah made us the Amir and not the Amir. Amir, I have to sort out the shelter, kapra roti, kapra makan, all that. So I have to sort out the food and the boarding, lodging, the clothing, education, expenses, medication. Everything is on the husband. But nowadays, you must remember many husbands, because they influenced by the satanic Western system, they will tell their wife, no, you go and work. They will tell the wife that, no, you must pay the water lights, you must pay the rental, you must. All this is haram in Islam. That is not her duty to pay for you and for the family. Even if the wife is a millionaire, she can be a multimillionaire. She don't have to spend on the children and on you and so forth. On her own accord, she on her own, she does it. That's a different issue. But for you as a husband to impose upon her, all that is un-Islamic.
Somebody says, though, the question is, dear Mufti Saab, if a husband gives a talaq to his wife from the phone, via a phone call or text, is it valid, Ustad?
100%. You must remember, if it is from a phone call, you know it's your husband speaking, and he told you, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. He, the husband, told you, the wife, he's giving, issuing one talaq. The words he used were in the past tense or present tense. Then it's valid. Similarly with SMS, similarly with WhatsApp, similarly with email. So all these new technology gadgets we got, so you can just reconfirm it. Sometime it can happen, somebody is playing fools, that they just take the man's phone and so forth and send a message. You will think it's from your husband, but it's from somebody else who got hold of your husband's phone. Your husband was there, he went to the bathroom, he went to the washroom and so forth, and this person was just sent. So once he confirms it, that yes, he sent it, then remember definitely whether he said one, it'll be one. If he said two, it's two. If he said triple, he said three talaq, then it's three. So 100% it'll be valid according to the Sharia, that to have witnesses and all that is desirable, but is not a prerequisite for the validity of the talaq. Even if there's no witnesses, the talaq and the divorce will be valid.
I see Stenger says here, Ustad, a sister also wants to know, she says, is talaq valid even if given during a time of anger? Remember she made me angry and my intention at that time was to make her scared. That's why I gave her Ustad.
Remember, my brother, always when people ask me this question for past 20 years or more, so I always answer them like this. I said, which husband will give his wife talaq while he is intimate with his wife, while she is kissing his wife and intimate and so forth? You wouldn't do that. So normally, talaq is given in anger, so therefore that is not a valid excuse, and whatever you utter, that will be valid. If you said talaq one time, is one. If you said two times, twice. If you said three times, all three. And then for y'all to live in the same house under the same roof, all haram. Either the husband must move out or either the wife must move out, because you had three bullets and now you pull the trigger. So you can't say you pull the trigger in anger. So all that is unacceptable. The damage is done. If you got a gun, you got a revolver, pistol, and there's three bullets there. You pull the trigger, one, two, three, and you shot the person. You say, no, I was angry. But the person is dead, right? So you must remember that, or injured, whatever it is. So you have to face the consequences now. So similarly, yeah, Allah gave you three bullets. You pulled all the three bullets. You used it. So don't blame anybody and don't use. These are the three, four things men use. Today's husbands. Number one, I was very angry. Bo gusso huto. So So I was very, he said, make boki cherivi. I was very angry and so forth. So not acceptable Islamically. It's not valid excuse. The talaqs will be valid. Number two, he says, no, that me, that person will say, he's bipolar. You understand? When he drives car, he go shop, he go job, all that masjid, he's never bipolar. Only when he give talaq, then he's bipolar. So all these fairy tale excuses. Third one, he'll say, no, that I was on drugs and so forth and so. So I was a little bit hazy. I was a little bit mixed up. I was a little bit confused. My fuses were blown. So all these are fairy tales. You must remember that the talaq will take place, and all these excuses, none of them will be acceptable according to the Sharia. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Ustaz, a revered sister says that what are the rights of a wife when it comes to intercourse, Ustaz?
So you must remember that husband, wife, you must remember that whatever they agree on and so forth, and it's not something that you must have a timetable, you understand? Husband will say that Jumirati rat moti ratche, you understand? That Thursday night is a big night, you understood? Big night what? We must make ghusl and so forth. And so other time we don't fulfill the conjugal rights, so that's wrong. So you must remember there must be the element of support. Prize also. Whenever husband is ready, wife is ready, mashallah, you fulfill the conjugal relationship and the rights of one another and so forth. Depending, you must remember, the wife must not be in a menses, or you must, you know, realize you can't be also every day, when the wife can't manage and so forth. So it's a give and take situation. But remember, minimum, if you're asking sister, one day, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was making patrol. You know, when you go in Tabligh Jamaat, then what they say, gasht. You know, when I went to Iran, 2013, the people with who I organized the trip, and that, when I looked at their name, I had a chuckle and I smiled, that it is in Farsi written, gashtur. Gashtur means gashtwas. So it means gasht. Gasht means to go round and round and round. So they take the people round and round and round. So that's how they kept that name. So Sayyidina Umar used to patrol and go. Then one lady, her husband was gone in jihad, you know, to fight the enemy, and she's reading poetry and she's saying, I have the fear of Allah and I love Allah, therefore I can never betray my husband and so forth. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu overheard her saying all this. He didn't tell her anything. He went to his beloved daughter Sayyida Hafsa, who was the honorable wife of the master alayhi salatu salam. Oh Hafsa, that what you say, how long a woman can stay without a husband and so forth? And she said 4 months. And then Sayyidina Umar was a genius. Inna Allah yantaliqul haq ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. Allah jalla wala let the truth flow from the heart and the tongue of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an. What Umar said radiallahu on the farsh, Allah would send from the arsh. What he said on the land and sand, Allah would send from the heavens. 20 occasions plus open itqan of Suyuti rahimahullah you will find. In Bukhari Sharif is mentioned, waafaqtu rabbi fi thalath. There 3 times I told Nabi alayhi salam something and Allah revealed the verses accordingly. So Sayyidina Umar then said, never is it allowed for the mujahideen to go for more than 4 months and so forth and so on. So imagine the foresight, the insight of Sayyidina Umar. That is minimum. But obviously, that is not what the ideal situation is. So it's a matter of give and take and so forth, your age, your mood, all these type of things. But remember, it is an integral part of happiness as well. Therefore, you must remember, it's a give and take situation.
I see Richards Bay Ustad. Sister says that yesterday our Muslim brother who lived opposite our home hang himself. What happens to the soul of his Muslim brother Ustad?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You see, today with this coronavirus, millions of people across the world, they have lost their jobs, they have lost so many things and so forth. I don't know, I didn't even know this incident took place, I only heard now. So you must remember that this is a major sin. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada. The way the person committed suicide, if he hanged himself, he strangled himself, himself and what have you. He drank poison or slit his wrist or whatever. So people do this, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Aliyazubillah. So Allah will let them punish themselves till the day of Qiyamah and will continue. So it's a major, major Akbarul Kabair sin. But we still pass the verdict that he, that person, passed away as a Muslim. So you, the community there in Richards Bay, I'm sure everything must be done. You must give him ghusl, you must bathe him, you must give, you understand, kafan, shroud him, you must perform Salatul Janaza. Regarding Salatul Janaza, one lesson there, that the Imam, the appointed Imam, he should tell somebody else that, you know, you perform the Salatul Janaza, and he should not perform it. That is better desirable. It doesn't mean that if he perform it, he's committing a sin. No, it's permissible. But as a deterrent, that people must know, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, if they commit suicide, the appointed Imam will not perform the Salatul Janaza and so forth. So that is a deterrent. And then we bury him after the Janaza, we bury him or her there in the Muslim graveyard and cemetery. And we keep on making dua for that person. Rabbana Aghfir, Surah 14, verse 41. Rabbana Aghfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, my beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning takes place. See, I show you. You know, sometimes we think that we are hafiz and we studied and thus and thus. I had my beloved mother, you know, she knew how to read Quran, all that. She couldn't even sign her name. We used to use a thumb for a passport and thumbprint and all that. So one day, and I won't mention the place, in a certain place, one lady committed suicide. And that lady used to come, you understand, sometimes to my mother and so forth. I remember that well. So anyway, so I was explaining to my beloved mother that, you know, this very big sin and dust and all. See how mother covered up the whole thing. Said no, that she had a big problem with her this thing, you understood, family and all these things. So she went there to the river, to the dam or whatever and so forth. And then she got a heart attack and she fell inside. So I looked at my mother, you know, this you call a ta'wil. You call it. I just kept quiet. So she tried to say that no, don't tell people she committed suicide. Tell people that she had a heart attack and then she fell inside. So you see, that you call husnuzan, that you turn things from a negative to a positive. We're not sure what exactly happened. So she turned it that way there. Now see, a lady who doesn't know what is Bukhari and Muslim and all those type of things, but sometimes Allah gives them such wisdom, you say no, it's right. Rather we say it like that, because Allah alone knows what the circumstances were and so forth. But where is the case like this, you know 100% the brother strangled himself or hanged himself and whatever else he did, so he's still cut, you must remember. So these are the things we must do, and leave the matter into Almighty Allah's verdict. Allah will deal with the person as he wants to, that we must continue making dua for that person there. That what is famous among the public, and you know the masses, you must bury the person outside the Muslim graveyard and all that is fairy tales. There's no such thing in Islam.
One more, Ustada, before we go for an interval. This is from Gabaron. Sister says, do the hadith mentions as well anything about a curse for a man who refuses to fulfill his wife's conjugal rights, Ustad?
100% you must remember that inna nisa'a shaqa'iqu rijal. So the laws that apply to the woman will apply to the man. So if the woman don't want to fulfill the conjugal rights of the husband, so you must remember then the malaika la'anathul malaika hatta tusbiha. So after Isha, the husband told his wife that he wants to fulfill conjugal rights. She was not in a menses, she's not sick, nothing. She told husband, go fly a kite. You understood? So the husband now, he don't want to make a big issue. He just looked the other way and slept. So the malaika will curse her, curse the lady till the morning time. Because why? She had no valid excuse. So now when the wife wants that the husband must, you understand, fulfill her conjugal rights, he got no excuse, nothing and all that. He just say, I'm tired, tired, every day tired, tired. tired, every night tired. So then Allah's curse is on him also. So you must remember that. So that is how the marriages break. That is why then Allah forbid the wife unto have an affair and lot of other things Allah forbid. So the same law will apply. Inna nisa shaqaiqur rijal. That the same laws that apply to the man will apply to the woman in these kind of cases here. So yes, he also must. And it's very easy for you ladies. You must remember that. If your husband is halal for you, so where he says no, this, that, then you must just seduce him. Once you seduce him, so mashallah, then you don't only permissible, then you get double sawab. One is that you brought him, he was half asleep, and now you made him wide awake. You understood? So mashallah, so then that is good like that also. So the wife must do that also. You must seduce your husband, so nothing wrong with that, so it's fine, it's permissible.
I see Suleiman is having a very good smile, Ustad. Well, it's exactly now 16 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, Ustad, what can a wife do if the husband does not spend much time at home? Ustad, I'm only 19 years old and I'm married for exactly 6 months, Ustad.
Remember that the men must realize that the daytime is for their livelihood, their shop, their job, all these things. After Maghrib, night time is for the wife and family time, we'll call. And inshallah, you only married 6 months and so forth, so the children will come. So it is time for the wife and it's time for the family and so forth. This business that today's youngsters and some men, you don't say all obviously, that remember they don't come, they spend time with their parents or they spend time with their friends or they spend time with meetings and they spend time here and there. So all that unacceptable. You must remember that. So much so, even if the brother goes for dini work, let's say for example he goes for gasht and he goes out jola and all, it's good, very good, we encourage it. But it's twice a week, fine, maximum thrice a week. That also discuss with your wife and so forth, start ta'lim at home. So you both on the same page and so forth. But the way the question is posed here, it seems that this lady is 19 years old. She's only married 6 months. The husband deflowered her, everything. And now you must remember that he finds now, now what I'm going to speak to my wife and all these things every day. So now he goes more to the friends, more here, more there, more that. That is unacceptable. And the husband commits a major sin like this. Our deen of Islam, always understand this law I'm giving you. It is hukukullah and hukukul ibad. The rights and obligations of all Allah and the obligations of humankind, Muslim or non-Muslim, to fulfill the rights of humanity and creation. So you must remember one of the rights you have to fulfill is that of your wife. Now look at this lady. We don't know her. We don't know her husband. We don't know from where she is. It's fine. We don't want to know. Don't tell us also. But remember, she left the place of her birth. She left her parents. She left the siblings. She left everything she was accustomed to spend the remainder of her life with you. So much sacrifice you made. And now you enjoyed yourself, everything with her. You deflowered her, everything. And now you don't spend time with her. Is that fair, my brother? That's 100% not permissible. Therefore, Allah is commanding me and you. And every husband, Surah 4, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They treat your wives with love and respect and so forth. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, treat your wife better than that, then you are the good husband.
Dear Mufti Saab, always enjoying the program. My hubby keeps on threatening me with talak because he says I love like a pig. I don't have a domestic and I try my best to keep my home clean and tidy, Mufti Saab. Even when he comes from work, he does not want to talk to us or the kids. Always sits on his phone and sits by the TV, complains to me of how much he spends on us and even of the food we eat. Please guide me. Ustad, from anonymous sister.
Remember that your husband has got some other problems. You must remember, for example, he's got business problems, or he's got debt problems, or you must remember he's got some other tension and stress. Now, to vent out his anger, what he does, he can't do it with his boss, or he can't do it with somebody who is owing 50, 100,000 or whatever. So now he vents out his anger on you by calling you such names. Obviously, to call call a Muslim person such name like khinzir and swine and all that is totally haram. And it's worse in the case of a wife. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the akhlaqi kareema, the noble example and character of the master alayhi salam. Ya Humaira, ya Aish, ya Muwaffaqa, ya Siddiqa, all this you will find in Dara Kutni, in Tirmidhi, in Mishkat Sharif, how Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his honorable wife Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa. Humaira, you the red one in complexion, meaning she was very fair in complexion and with redness to enhance her beauty. And you must remember that the tarheem, that is, you take the last letter out, ya Aish, and was ya Muwaffaqa, Allah gave you tawfiq and so forth to do good. So see, a husband must use wonderful names, darling, sweetheart, poppy, like that. So in that way, the wife feels wanted, appreciated, and so forth. Now you go call her khinzir and swine and all that. How can that be justified? Then he says, how much you'll eat, how much you'll drink, how much you'll spend. But he himself, whole day he's there at home, just watching TV, busy on the phone, does that, neglecting everybody. So brother, every way you are in the wrong, and you're bringing all your stress, and you're bringing all your problems to her at home, and then you're venting your anger on them. That is your problem, remember that. So you can't deal with it with your workplace, now you come and take out your frustration at home. That is totally unacceptable, brother.
Somebody says, Ustad, my son wants to get married to a Sayyid girl. What is Mufti Sahab's advice, Ustad?
Remember that the previous question, sister, you and your family, all of you read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen, and read, Ya wadudu, Ya wadud, Allah will change the negative into a positive. But you must have firm conviction and yaqeen in the promises of Almighty Allah Jalla wala. MashaAllah, that you are a Muslim and you are muttaqi, you have taqwa and piety, and this lady here is a Sayyid, her father and them, they join up with Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anhu. So in that way there, if she is happy, that Sayyida girl, her father and them, her parents are happy, then you get married to her. But then your children, they won't be Sayyid. You must remember that. Why they won't be Sayyid? Because if you, the Sayyida, that you belong to the Sadat, you belong to the progeny of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and your husband, remember, is not a Sayyid. So your children will follow the nasab and lineage of the father. And the father is not Sayyid, so they also, their children will not be Sayyid. So you can't go tell your children that they must say that they are children. So you must take all these factors into consideration as well. I give you, I won't take the name, he passed away. There was one Maulana in South Africa. So I knew him well. He used to go around here and there. So one day he landed up in Indonesia. So in Indonesia, they're very strict about this issue. So they have one area there where the Sadat they live. You understood? Sadat is where the family of Nabi alayhi salatu salam and so forth. So he went there and he spoke to them in Arabic and us and all that. So they were very happy, and you know that this person, mashallah. So they all asked him, give us your lineage, like, you understand? So his lineage is this, and then to India, Surat, and all this, you understand, and Dabel and whatever, all these kind of places, Randair and whatever. So they said, but you're not the Sadat, you don't belong to us and this. Said, no, I'm not the Sayyid. They said, no, it's finished, disqualified. So sometimes you must remember, they want a husband also who is from the Sadat, the family of Nabi, and they're entitled to say that also. So therefore, I'm telling you, that you, the girl, the lady who's to get married, if you are happy and your parents are happy, and the husband to be, the son-in-law to be, is not from the Sadat, and all parties happy, is fine. But you must understand this one masalah. After 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, you go, children, remember that the children won't come in that category anymore because they will follow the father and not the mother.
Mm. Ustad, listen to the question here, Ustad. Allow me to read it. How far should a son obey his mother? Where the mother-in-law deliberately interferes in the son's marriages until the marriage either breaks or until where life becomes permanently very bitter for the couple and the children. But Mufti Sahab, is the son allowed to allow his mother to interfere in his marriage to this extent, where she manipulates her son and he blindly listens to his mother to oppress his wife and children? And she and her family, they use the hadith of Hazrat Al-Qama radiallahu anhu to allow her to continue with her behavior, Ustad.
You must remember that in this day and this age, I reiterate that, in this day and this age, you must remember, in this, I always say, somebody comes for your daughter, somebody comes for your sister, niece, then one of the questions you must ask and pose to them is, fine, if we give you our sister, daughter, or whoever, niece, then where will you live with her? If our answer is positive, so you're entitled. If he says that you'll have to live with my mother and all that, then you better make istikhara and lot of issues there. And if they say separate, then you go see the house, all that, you can go and see everything, you'll understood, and so forth and so on. So you know that deal there. So according to the question, the way it is posed, where the mother-in-law, the husband's for mother, so the mother-in-law, she is manipulating the son, and then filling his ears with lot of lies also, propaganda, half-truth, half-lies, and so forth. And then this son just accepts it and swallows it. They've totally haramed it. You must remember, you as a mother, you should, a mother for your son and mother-in-law for your daughter-in-law, your function should be jorna, there to make your son's marriage work, and not torna to go and break it and bring somebody else's daughter and make her life a big hell and a better marriage and so forth. So you, wife, you have to do three things. Number one, turn to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Number two, you must show your husband where blatantly his mother is wrong. You must remember, he can't be so blind and so forth that everything he just, you understand, G, and that's wrong. So everybody got their own rights. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَعْتَاكُ الَّذِي حَقٍ حَقًا. Verily, Almighty Allah has given everybody their rights. Yes, the mother has greater rights than the wife, but that doesn't mean that everything you just accept what your mother says and where she has a hidden agenda. So you must don't study one hadith and just jump. You have to look at all the ahadith. Did not Nabi alayhi salam say authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli? The best of you are the best of you for your wives and children. And I, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best of my wives and my children. So there are so many ahadith like that. So therefore, Hazraji Nawwarallahu Marqadahu of Jalalabad, when we used to sit in his majlis, therefore, suhbate sali sali kunan, suhbate tali tali kunan, when you sit with these giants, you must remember some piety will definitely rub off. We sit next to the heater and the fireplace, warmth comes. We sit next to the air condition, the fam, kufain, coolness comes. So Hazraji Nawwarallah of Jalalabad, Hazrat Muhammad Siullah Khan Sahib used to say, whole 77 Ramadan we spend there. So I remember he used to say, what is the sign of a good husband? The whole world can say that this person here is a good husband. But if the wife and children say he's a bad husband, then Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a bad husband. The whole world can say he's a bad husband, but the wife and children say he's a good husband, so Allah and Allah's Nabi will say he's good husband.
Haq.
That is the barometer, because they know the private life, they know the moods, they know everything inside out. So therefore, always use that as a criteria. And you, mother, never do this. You're destroying that marriage, destroying your son. And your son, we got a nice term in Memon for that, he'll become a mamariya, he'll become a baila, you understood? A going, ma, 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 whole day. He's like, you understand? So he can't leave. He must remember the ribbons and all that of his mother. And he can't leave. He's the tail of his mother and all. You must grow up. You must remember that you're a man and so forth. You would respect and so forth. You must tell your mother, me and my wife will sort these things out. You don't have to interfere. وَقُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Quran teaches us. So that is what you must do. You can't just be swallowing everything your mother says. Okay, time is up.
One more, Ustad. What happened? I did get married. My meher was 2,000 rand. I didn't get my meher money. And my husband gave me my talaq. I am 19 years old. I was married only for 4 months, Ustad.
Inna lillahi wa inna rajun. Anyway, he owes you that 2,000 rand. And remember, that is ghasab. He has stolen and usurped your money. So you must demand it and say, and if they demand any jewelry or anything else that they gave you or clothing, which is haram for them, you must remember to take it back. All this is in the Quran Sharif, Surah 4, verse 20, verse 21. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. When the husband gave talaq, and now he wants to demand, or his family wants to demand, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. They can't take anything back. It's totally haram for them. So yes, he must pay you the 2,000 rand. That is compulsory. Next up, we have the news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then we have Mohana Ilyas Patel, mashallah. A wonderful talk in English, the reflections of the year after. Then 1 o'clock Adhan, then 105 to 130, Surah Kahf. We continue verses 87 to 92. 130 to 2, today is the last lesson of Surah Hud. Tomorrow we're starting Surah Yusuf, inshallah, between 130 and 2. Make a note of that, inshallah, Aziz. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Mawzaid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting with Mawlana Arafat. 3:30 to 4 will be Dawat Ki Azim Kam. So the work of Dawat, how important it is, by Hazrat Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, who passed away. So remember that's very important between 3:30 and 4. 4 to 5, Paradise and the Bounties of Paradise and Jannah, Mufti Mangera from UK. Then 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8, more Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, wonderful Mint After Dinner with Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan and Mawlana Zahid as well. And there'll be other good guests as well. Then 10 to 11, inshallah, that do like our elders were doing by Mawlana Ridwan Kaji. It's a wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And 4 to 6, as Safina to Ilal Jannah tomorrow morning. So up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.